The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello, and welcome to Boarding Party. We are continuing our celebration of Harry Potter's impending birthday. That's right, we are talking about Harry Potter today, and I am very excited because our guest is the very, very funny Elise Morales. Elise is a writer for Betches, and she also plays Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on Cartoon President. So, you know, we're going to get a little political toward the end. So if that's your thing, keep listening. If it's not, keep listening, because we are two women who have things to say. OK, but first, we are, in fact, going to talk about Harry Potter. Elise, I'm very excited to talk to you.
I'm so excited to be here.
OK, I mean, we'll say it right up top. We're going to be talking about Potter. And this is something I've known about you for a long time.
Yes.
That you are a huge fan.
I try to brand myself as like maybe the number one Harry Potter comedian.
I think like, you are.
Like, I honestly do believe that I am in many different ways. I mean,
who would rival you? Nobody.
I don't know. Yeah. I honestly don't know. And I feel like it now is really a good time to be talking about and loving HP, because I feel like the fandom has been like much maligned lately. And I want to celebrate us again.
I want to, too. And I want to talk specifically. We'll get deep on. We'll do like the obvious Potter stuff that you have to do. But I do want to talk because you are very, is it fair to say that you are very engaged with the fandom? You're not just a fan. You are engaged with other people who love Harry Potter.
Yes, I'm engaged with other people who love Harry Potter. Being a part of the fandom is part of what I love about Harry Potter. And I'm very engaged in like the latest in HP news.
Oh,
I will say. So like I like to keep in touch, like keep abreast of like what's going on in the world of HP.
Okay, that is good to know.
Yes.
So I ask everyone who does the podcast off the bat, do you consider yourself a geek?
I don't think I've ever identified as a geek, mainly because Harry Potter has been sort of my number one like geeky, I guess, thing.
Yeah.
And I've put like sort of all of my like nerd energy into that.
Sure.
So I don't feel like I have like the breadth of like fandoms to be a true geek, I guess I would say.
It's like geek for Potter.
I would say like I'm geek Potter. Adjacent.
Okay, yeah.
A friend of the geeks, an ally to geeks.
Yeah, I love it. The other Potter question you have to ask is what house are you?
Gryffindor.
Gryffindor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Through and through. I know that people are always like, oh, everyone says that, but like I really genuinely am in Gryffindor. And I have been the whole time.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think also, I maybe this is wrong, but I feel like, especially as adults, there's almost a pride or a resurgence in being like, I'm actually a Ravenclaw. I'm actually a Slytherin.
Yes.
Like, I'm not a Gryffindor, you know?
I feel like people hesitate from saying that they're in Gryffindor because thought of as like, that's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah.
But it's genuinely what I feel in my heart. And as we all know, the sorting hat takes what you want into consideration. So I know that if I were to sit in that chair and have the sorting hat placed on my head, I would be like, you need to put me in Gryffindor. And that's kind of all we're going to be talking about right now.
Yeah. And if you don't, I'll rip you up.
Yeah. I'll be pissed.
I'll be extremely pissed.
And we'll get in a big fight.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Gryffindor through and through. So do you remember your first interaction with anything Harry Potter? Was it a book? Was it a movie? Okay.
So my godmother bought me the first book. I think I was 11 at the point that I read the first book, but the first three of them were out, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. She got it for me. I remember I tried to read it once and I didn't get past the first chapter, because the first chapter of the first book is that weird chapter about like Uncle Dursley.
What?
Uncle Vernon fucking working. Sorry, am I allowed to curse on this?
100%.
Okay, great. I was like, wait, I never asked. Working at like the drill bit company and like looking out his window, and it's just not.
There's no magic.
Yeah, it's like such a divergent chapter from anything else. Like, I feel like the next time we get something like that is sort of in at the beginning of Goblet of Fire when we're following the, like, Frank the Muggle, the caretaker at the Riddles, like, mansion. I feel like that's the next time we get a chapter that's not from Harry's point of view. And even then, that was a dream of Harry's. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and also at that point, you're like, okay, I've invested enough in this world.
Yeah.
That, sure, I'll go along for this ride. I don't understand what it is, but all right.
Yeah. So note number one, the first chapter is off. But it's, I mean, now when I read it, it's so interesting to me to read, like, Uncle Vernon seeing, being like, oh, the wizards are being active, and, like, seeing people in cloaks on the street and, like, knowing now what I know about everything. It's so interesting. But it lost me completely when I was a kid. Then my family went on a road trip and I brought the Harry Potter book because I kept hearing everybody talking about it. And, you know, I'm a slave for trends. So I'm like, I got to give this book another try. So I brought it on this road trip and I read it, like, through the entire, like, 5-hour drive. I just read it, like, in one sitting. And truly, the moment I finished it, I puked in the car from motion sickness.
Oh, I was going to. Okay. So it was in the back of my mind. I can't even look at my phone in the car.
I absolutely can't. At all. And I powered through. I just read the book anyway. And then as soon as I was done, I vomited all over the backseat.
I'm just imagining you being like, I love this book.
Yeah.
Like a little kid just being like, I truly, like, God, no.
I truly think I said, like, that was awesome.
And then just like, barfed everywhere.
Damn it. It truly was bad. Oh. But from that moment on, I was hooked. And then I think I had the second and third one. Which is what makes me say they were all out, because I think I got the second and third really shortly after that as gifts and read those. And then I think it was a bit of a wait.
So you did have the experience of having to wait.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that, I think, is also part of what, like, burrowed Harry Potter into my life, is that, like, that's what got me involved in the fandom, is that waiting period when I would, like, go online to, like, little chat rooms and be like, what do you guys think is going to happen?
So that's what I was going to ask, is, do you think, because I feel like those in-between times, now when you can go back and binge things, there is no, like, anyone who goes back and watches Game of Thrones now or Harry Potter, anything, it's like, you can have instant gratification. Whereas if you're waiting for the books or even the movies, you've got to find something to feed that addiction.
And that is what drove me to the fandom and fan fiction.
Okay, so please. I know that this is, I've heard you talk about it. I've heard you talk about it in shows.
Yes.
So how did you first discover it? Do you also, do you write fan fiction?
I mean, not currently.
Okay, but
I did, right? I was very heavily involved in the fan fiction world because I was so in love with Harry Potter. I was obsessed with it. And there was, especially after Goblet of Fire, because Goblet of Fire is my favorite of the series. It's like, it just has my heart forever. Mm-hmm. Waited for Goblet of Fire. And then the wait for Order of the Phoenix, I think, was really long. I'm pretty sure that one was, like, a very extended wait period. It was the first time I really had to wait. And that was when I started to get involved in, like, reading fan fiction. Okay. Fanfiction.net was my, like, favorite.
I was going to ask, what's the destination? But it was fanfiction.net.
Fanfiction.net was my favorite. And then there was also, I liked MuggleNet, which was more of, like, a fandom. And, like, I didn't really read fan fiction on there, but I would, like, look up, like, news about when stuff was coming out.
Yeah.
On there, especially, like, once the movies were coming around and stuff, I would, like, wait for stills and, like, all that stuff on there. And then I remember there was a website that I can't even begin, like, I don't even know what it was, because I'm like, I'm remembering me logging onto it. I'm remembering, like, the oldest computer in my house and, like, the computer room from, like, 10, like, 5 houses ago when I'm, like, really little. So it must have been really ancient internet stuff.
And it's crazy to remember that there was a time not very long ago where the internet existed, but you had to seek this information as opposed to going on Twitter and you're like, please take this away. I don't want to see stills. I don't want to know what's going to happen. You had to know where to go, know how to look for it, is it real or not? Probably it was, because Photoshop wasn't that advanced. But yeah, like that was a thing, having to seek this out.
And there was this, so this other website that I can't remember what it was called, I would play like literally a role-playing game with other Harry Potter people on it that was just in the form of like a message board where we would have like characters and I would be like, my character is getting ready to go to the dance.
And I remember those. And then you'd make moves sometimes and people would fucking ignore you. Yes. And you're like, no, I'm getting ready for the dance.
Yeah, like, hey guys, I think we're getting ready for the dance. And that was always my move, was to be getting ready for the dance, because I just, which is why I loved Goblet of Fire so much, because there was finally a damn dance.
You're like, I've been getting ready for this dance on the internet for a year.
So long. Please.
Please give me a fucking dance.
So that, I mean, that was what like put me in the fandom. And then when I wrote my fan fiction, it was in between Order of the Phoenix and Half-Blood Prince.
Okay.
It was in that waiting period, and my fan fiction was just Order of the Phoenix, but I was in it and everyone wanted to date me.
It was just the book.
Literally large swaths of the book, just I typed them out, and then I would be like, and then Elise, well, my character's name was Addie, but and okay, then great. Addie said this.
Oh no. Wait, who? So everybody, so like Ron, Harry.
Yes.
Was Draco a potential?
Of course.
Okay. And is there is there one that you were like, and he wins?
So Harry won in the end.
Okay.
But the really big conflict in it was between Harry and George Weasley. They were like sort of fighting for me. Yeah, I always had a thing for the Weasley twins. Mm-hmm. They're like the funny guys, you know? They're the improv guys.
They are the improv guys. You're like, oh, shut up. But also, you're funny.
It's like, oh my God, why are you being so mean to me?
Stop.
So I loved them. Okay. And I chose George. I guess I just had an affinity for George. I don't know.
Yeah.
Over the two. I guess I kind of knew that Fred was going to go.
You were like, you seem marked for death.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I was like, I have a bad omen about getting involved with you, dude.
Yeah.
So there was a conflict between the two. And like Harry and I like didn't get along at first, but then like we learned to get along. Because I would be like, why? I would like call him out on being so moody. And then, yeah, that was a long fan fiction too, because it literally, was rewriting a very long book and adding more to it, just adding a character to it that was me.
Yeah. Did you have a ship other than you and Harry?
Other than myself and all of the other characters?
Yeah.
I shipped Ron and Hermione. So to be eventually. Yeah. I was sad that Luna and Neville Longbottom didn't happen. Yeah. I wanted that to happen. I mean, I guess not. They can't just all marry each other.
Yeah.
But also they can.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's a small-ish community.
It is a small community. And
why not?
Like, they're all getting married pretty young anyway. So you would marry your high school sweetheart.
Wizards do marry young, huh?
Lily and James are 21 when they died.
Whoa.
They're 21 when they died.
I never put that together. And Harry is one?
One.
Mm-hmm. So they got married and had a kid before the age of 21.
Yeah. Like they probably got married. I don't know exactly the timeline, but it's like you graduate from Hogwarts at 17. Maybe they're married at 18.
Wow.
Two good years of marriage. And then they've got Harry and then they're dead.
Has anyone ever asked J.K. Rowling, like, why is everyone in the books getting married? Like, even for that time, it's not like this was written 60 years ago. It's like, why?
So if I remember correctly, Joe has given two answers about this. One, I think, is more correct than the others. One is that there's a war on. So, like, everyone's getting married young because there's a war. And the other is I do remember an old interview where she was like, I'm just really not good at numbers. And I think I just threw a lot of shit out there and didn't realize that they weren't going to be 21 and that's insane and that's really, really young and now they just are 21.
And that to you feels more like,
that feels more real, because it's like, it feels more to me like in the early days of her career when she's like, I didn't know this was going to become one of the most iconic children's series of all time. I just sold my wizard book. They're like, what year did all this happen? And she's like, I don't know, 1981. And then she just has to like deal with that. And she just throws out some dates. And then suddenly you have a rabid fan base who's like taking notes on every single thing you say. And you realize that the dates you gave don't make sense. And you're like,
I said that once in a pitch meeting.
These people are clearly in their 30s, but I've said they're 21. Yeah. So what am I doing?
So there was the war. That makes a lot more sense.
So that's what I do believe.
Yeah. Okay. So it feels like the fanfic is happening and like the engaging on message boards and whatever. That's like pre-teen, teen.
Yes.
So is
early
there,
high school.
Yeah. Is there like, how does it progress for you?
So I think after that, a lot of the Harry Potter energy went into because I just had so much latent Harry Potter energy.
Yeah. It has to go somewhere.
I think a lot of it went into now like the movies are in full force. So like the movies are coming out. I have like movies to wait for. So like in between the books, you can like get excited about the movies are going to come out now. Not that I wasn't still into the fan fiction universe, but that was my like main fan fiction that I wrote. And then I would like start some and not finish them. And like there was like one Marauders fan fiction that I read that I really liked. And I would like keep up with that one for a while.
Interesting.
That was like a telling of the Marauders story, and I thought it was really good and really well written, so I really liked that one. And I liked Marauders prequels in general.
Yeah, I like that. Well, two questions. Have you ever met any of the people whose fan fiction you read?
No. I have no idea anything about them or who they were. Just based on like the quality of this one that I was reading, I think it was like an adult woman who was writing it. But that was like the most interesting thing about the fan fiction world is like you could tell if someone was like a middle schooler or whatever writing it. But like when I was, you know, like a high schooler, it was very funny because like I would get like reviews or whatever. And I think other high schoolers like me liked it because it was just, they would pretend that they were the me character or whatever. But then like adults would review my fan fiction and be really mean to me and be like,
Jesus.
You don't know how to spell, da da da. And I'm like, I'm 14.
Yeah, like, relax.
And they would be like, this character is a Mary Sue. Like, this fan fiction sucks. And I'm like, I am a child.
I don't know what you're saying.
They're like, the structure doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, I'm a kid. They're like, this is stolen from the original book. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, like verbatim.
I'm not a baby.
Yeah, like, stop it.
Yeah.
What? Okay, so some of the reviews would be like actually harsh.
Oh, yeah. People would blame me all the time. And they would be like, this is really bad and your grammar sucks. And I would be like, yeah, I'm not finished with my schooling, sir. Yeah,
like, I am not even halfway done.
Yeah, like I truly have so much left to learn.
Oh my God. That almost feels worse than like YouTube comments or something where you're like, yeah, I very consciously like made something and put it out there for consumption, whatever. And also, I guess I'm thinking of myself as an adult.
Yeah.
But when you write fan fiction, it's like, aren't we all here for fun?
Yes, like, exactly. Like, aren't we all here for like geekery and the highest degree?
Like, this is explicitly as far as this thing will go.
Yeah.
I'm not like standing here claiming that I'm not asking you for a book deal.
Yes,
like,
exactly. I'm literally a 14-year-old girl, and I just love this book about wizards so much that I'm spending my after-school time to write myself into it.
Yeah, and you're like, you suck.
Like, yeah, it's like, okay, thank you. But I didn't let it deter me.
Good, good. Okay, so we were talking about the movies are in full swing,
yes.
And like that's the next step in fandom.
Yeah, so the movies are in full swing. So now I have a lot of like outlets for my Harry Potter stuff. It seems like it's like every 6 months I'm either getting a movie or a book for a certain period of time. So that's great.
It's huge.
When the seventh book came out, I am 17, so that's huge. I kind of ended up like lining up in age with Harry, like just about as all of the books were coming out. And I was at a pre-college program at Penn State, and they like had a thing where we could all get the book at midnight because they knew the book was going to come out. Yeah. And I like just stayed in my room the entire day and until like basically all hours until I finished it. I like did not interact with anyone else in the program. I didn't do it. I was like, I'm going to sequester myself in my weird fake dorm.
This is what I want to do.
Yes.
This is my pre-college program.
And that's what I would do anytime the book came out. I would be like, and now for the next until the book is done, I'm just in my room finishing the book as quickly as possible.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you didn't want to savor it. It was like, I got it. This has been a 8-year whatever journey. I got to finish.
I couldn't have, I was so pumped when the books came out that I couldn't have stopped reading it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been like, okay, let me put it down. And then tomorrow it's like, no, I'm going to read it until it's done.
Yeah.
And I'm going to like take the book down to dinner with me and read it at the table and do the whole thing. And like everyone in my family is just going to have to be on board with like the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Or however long it would take for me to finish it.
This is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Okay. So the books end. How long did the, I don't remember how long, it was a couple years, right, that the movies were coming out past the book.
Because the movies came out, well, at least like halfway through when I was in college. And I was at that like pre-college program or whatever when the last one came out. So we have like a good maybe 3 or 4 years after where the movies were coming out. So then, yeah, all the energy went into the movies. Would go to see the movies. Always went to the midnight premiere.
Dressed up. Great.
Yeah.
As a character or as a Hogwarts student?
Sort of as myself if I were at Hogwarts. Got was it. Always my play. General, it was Hermione-esque in that mm-hmm. I have a time turner and I have kind of like curly hair and stuff. So if someone really pressed me, I'd be Hermione. But in my mind, I was my character from that fan fiction. Probably.
Addie.
Yeah,
Got
I was Addie.
Got it.
Great at Quidditch. So fun. Everyone wants to be your boyfriend.
See, that's the difference from Hermione. Great at Quidditch.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was... That was a big, and I would say that my character wasn't as smart as Hermione, but it was still like really smart and good at magic.
Yeah. Like, so actually you're sort of just a Hermione plus.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Hermione, but a little bit better.
Yeah, Hermione, but always hot.
Yeah. Always like very hot.
Extremely hot.
Okay. I'm sure they're not defined, but are there rules? Are there things that you like do and don't say or certain kinds of people like, oh, if you like this type of fanfic or this character or whatever, you are this like type of person or houses, like, you know what I mean?
It is interesting because the community is asked to like sort itself into different factions. I feel like it's a very open community just because of how huge it is and because all of us kind of share this thing of like, this is a thing we did as kids, you know? So it's like it kind of gets you before you can even become a type of person in a way. Like it gets to you early. But it is interesting to see, like having done, I used to host a sorting ceremony at PotterCon.
Yes.
Which was very, very fun.
And I want to know, okay, yes. So we'll get to, but like the sorting ceremony at PotterCon, what did this look like? Was it truly just you had a sorting hat and like someone on a mic?
Yes. So we would usually have someone mic'd as the sorting hat or someone playing Dumbledore. I was just kind of like master of ceremonies in a way. People would put their names in a goblet of fire. I would call their name from the goblet of fire. And then we had like a series of questions that were like Harry Potter related kind of questions. We would have the audience vote on what house they would be in. Most people make a very obvious play for the house that they want to be in. Like they specifically, you can tell based on their answers that they have something that they're going for, or they're literally in regalia of that house, which
so
makes
like, please, yes. You see all of my yellow, please
yes,
which, sort accordingly.
Which makes my job easier because I want to put you in the house that you want to be in because I don't like the wrath of people who get... who don't get the house that they want to be in. And like the true anger that they express towards me, I don't need. So
there would be people who are like, are you kidding me?
Yes. And I'm like, okay, well, we met 2 seconds ago. You answered one question. I'm sorry.
Also just like, don't do what I say then.
Yeah.
It's like, it's fine.
You can make it pretty obvious what house you want to be in if you have a really like, if you have a very strong preference. And you want me to sort you in that house, just be like, if you really want to be in Slytherin, and I'm like, what would you do if you were a wizard? Be like, kill people. And then I'll be like, okay, I'll be
so Slytherin. Sounds to me like a Slytherin.
Or be like, I would read all the books. And then I'd be like, okay, well, I will put you in Ravenclaw.
Yeah. Does anyone stand out in your mind as having been like very pissed off?
There have been multiple people who have been visibly pissed off. And there was one girl who... I did it on stage and I could tell that she wasn't like happy about it, but she didn't really like say anything. And then I was doing a side show basically where I would sort people on the side and they could play the game and I could do like a lot more people when like something else was going on the main stage. And she came back and in that interaction, one-on-one, was visibly angry with me.
Oh, no.
I was like, I just want to do it again because that's like, you said that I was in Hufflepuff and I'm not. And I was just like, okay, yeah cool. But the other thing about her was that she wouldn't just tell me which one she wanted.
Oh, she wanted to be
she
sorted.
Wanted me to genuinely sort her into that house. And I'm like, you have to help me.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually just a regular lady.
Like, I don't know.
I don't know what you want. We haven't met. You're not wearing Harry Potter attire. You're not giving me any guesses.
Yeah.
You don't want Hufflepuff. You're mad at me. Like, so I had to keep guessing. And then eventually she wanted to be in Ravenclaw. And I was like, okay.
So that's it.
Yeah. pop a blue tie on, lady.
Yeah.
Just
let me
give
know.
It to me. I'm happy to help you there.
Yeah.
But like, if you identify as Slytherin, they would show up 100% decked out in the Slytherin stuff. Like,
okay, see,
they
that
tell
doesn't
you.
Surprise me because there, it feels, if I had to guess, like there is a defiant pride in being like, I'm Slytherin.
Yes, I think that Slytherin, what I noticed at PotterCon was that people who identify strongly as Slytherin and people who identify strongly as Hufflepuff really wear the merch
and the gear.
Like,
yeah.
They like the gear. And then Ravenclaws will have sort of like a subtle,
mm-hmm.
like a Ravenclaw moment. They'll have like a pin.
Yeah. Ravenclaw. Just a little Ravenclaw moment.
They'll have like a Ravenclaw moment
or
whatever. And then Gryffindors are usually wearing like, I would say other hair. They'll have like the tie, but they've also got like kind of an eclectic other Harry Potter stuff on.
Yeah.
They kind of are into like the other types of merch.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That makes complete sense.
Yeah. But the Slytherins are decked out 100% mm-hmm. in either like Death Eater, like dark artsy stuff or
yep.
like Slytherin stuff. And the Hufflepuffs always come with Hufflepuff gear.
Yeah.
Fully in like the shirt, you've got the tie, you've got like all of this stuff.
I love that because I feel like in some ways, maybe this isn't fair, Hufflepuff is the least, not least defined, but it's the least, and I'm saying this as a Hufflepuff, the least like sexy of all the
yes.
houses. So you're like, well, I can at least have the stuff.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, yes you can.
Yeah,
yes,
I feel like J.K. Rowling tried to do a lot of work after the series came out to be like, no, Hufflepuff is actually cool
yeah,
and fun.
It's fun.
And I'm like, you gotta put one more fun student
yeah.
in Hufflepuff. Like she should have given Hufflepuff like one more. Cause Hufflepuff needed
yeah.
its Luna Lovegood.
Yes.
Like Ravenclaw has Luna.
Who is like
who rocks.
Cool. I understand she's like a fleshed out character.
Yes.
But the only real Hufflepuff, I mean, right, is like
Cedric Diggory who dies.
Who dies. And even before he dies, it's just supposed to, like he's brave.
Yeah. He's nobody's like, favorite character.
No.
You like Cedric. We
yeah.
all like Cedric.
But
he's nobody's favorite character. And that's the thing is like Ravenclaw got at least one like legitimate
yeah.
potential favorite character.
Yes. You
for
can
people.
Love Luna. You can identify with Luna.
Yeah. And I think that's what Hufflepuff is lacking is it's Luna.
I
Tonks
agree.
Was technically a Hufflepuff, but you don't associate Tonks
no,
with
I don't
Hufflepuff
at all.
House. You need a student.
Yes, exactly. She's not in, you don't even really associate her with Hogwarts, the adults.
No.
It's like, yeah, you vaguely know they all went there, but they're adults. They're
yeah.
not playing Quidditch. They're not, yeah.
It's, exactly. It's like a fun fact to know what the adults house was, but you need, what Hufflepuff really lacked was like a student leader.
It's true. Like a standard bearer. Like,
yes.
yes. Okay. We can all rally behind Luna. We can rally behind, I mean, I guess you could rally behind Snape. Like, is that,
yeah.
If you're a Slytherin, that's maybe who you're like, that's,
yeah.
or.
Yeah. I mean, he's like the big Slytherin good guy, I
yeah.
guess, but I kind of, some of the Snape and Lily stuff, personally, to me, I'm like, you need to calm down
yeah.
with Lily.
Yeah.
She doesn't like you.
She wasn't into it.
She wasn't into
Clearly
it. And like,
wasn't into
and
it.
And like, you definitely had like her son and her baby killed.
Yeah, yeah.
And that isn't cool.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, and I'm glad you feel bad about it. It's
yeah.
good. It's really good that you feel bad about
uh-huh,
it.
But you still did it.
You still definitely did it.
Uh-huh.
And you kind of only felt bad about it when you found out that she might also be killed and then you would lose your potential girlfriend.
Yeah. yeah. When your weird kind semi plot to kill to win a girlfriend by just killing her actual husband.
Yes. Like, Snape did do good in this world, but he has, I'll say it, incel energy.
Big
incel energy.
Incel energy. Well, this is, so I feel that Snape in the books, big time incel
yes.
energy. And Alan Rickman, I think, tempers that
yes.
in the movies.
Yes.
But in the books, you're just like,
Yeah.
Huh. You're obsessive.
Yes. And it is like, also, if he feels that bad, why are you so mean to her child?
Yeah.
For no reason.
Unbelievably mean.
So mean. Try to fail him. Try to keep him from getting into your class so he can't get, like
yeah.
be an R. Like, what's going on with you, buddy?
Yeah.
You should be extra nice to him.
Yes, but it is the incel energy of just like,
yes.
you want this so badly that you're mean to it?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? fuck psychology?
How dare you end up with Chad? Like, it's, yeah. That's like fully what it is.
I'm a nice guy. Why? Just because I tried to kill your husband, I'm not nice? Like,
yeah, just because I called you the most derogatory term that exists for a type of person like you in front of everyone at our school, you don't want to be my girlfriend?
Yeah, friend zone. Like, okay.
It's like, okay, dude.
So I want to take a break right here. When we come back, we're going to dive into politics and cartoon president and your live shows. But first, a quick little pee break.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, and we're back, and we are going to dive into the work, to the comedy, to everything, but also still Harry Potter. We're going to talk about Harry Potter. I want to shift gears slightly.
Yes.
So you voice Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I do.
On Cartoon President.
I do.
Which is very cool.
It is very fun.
And I want to know how you feel, because I feel like in the past 3 days, I've seen this a lot on Twitter. So that's my into like talking about slightly about politics, yes. About all the like Elizabeth Warren equals Hermione stuff.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of it and then a lot of backlash to it. And I am sorting through. I honestly just haven't given myself enough time to be like, what do I agree with what part? I don't know.
I think that the backlash is that people outside of the Harry Potter fandom or Harry Potter people are just annoyed with comparing Harry Potter to politics in general.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it, but also like, I want to. So
yeah,
I understand. Like, I both understand the actual complexities of the issues of the day and like feel for them on a real level and like think about them intellectually and have fun comparing them to this like silly series from my youth that is all about like, I don't know, like empowerment and like triumphing over evil. And sometimes it like when the election happened and all that stuff, sometimes it felt good for me to be like, I'm in Dumbledore's army.
Yeah.
It made me feel nice.
Well, I think
it gave
there's
me comfort.
Yeah. It's like there's something about, there's a reason why even as an adult you can acknowledge, okay, well, that's not how the world functions, but like these stories are helpful and comforting and like it's fun. And also, I don't know if that's like the thing that inspires you to be like, yeah, I'm going to go out and do a little more and try a little harder. Like, who's to say that that's not valid?
Exactly. Exactly. And like, there, it is a kid's series.
Sure.
I have read other books. I didn't like them as much, but I've read them.
I've tried
reading other books. Thank you, Twitter. But but like, there are themes in it that are analogous to what happens today. And I do think that the Liz Warren Hermione comparison is analogous in that, like,
100%.
Here you have this girl who is overprepared.
Yep.
Like, ready for everything. She's got her hand up in the air. She knows what to do.
And she's not playing the game that so many women are asked to play, which is just like, yeah, we know that you're the smartest in the class, but like, give the other kids a chance.
Yeah, but maybe pretend. And also, because I feel like some of the backlash is like, people mean this in a derogatory way almost. Like, people mean it as like, but I feel like when people say it, they're actually talking about it of the totality. Like, they're talking about it in a nuanced way of like, Hermione always faced people like thinking she was annoying. People being like, people brushing her off. People being like, ugh, so annoying that she has her hand raised, all this stuff. And then just like not letting any of that get to her and consistently crushing it and like saying no to all the haters or whatever. And I see that in Elizabeth Warren too. Like,
yes.
So many people being like, Is it, you know, is it too much that she has all these plans? Is she too smart? Is
like,
she
what are you talking what are you about?
Talking about? She knows all the spells. We need her.
On the politics end.
Yes.
So if you had to sort, I want to sort. Okay. We'll start with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but I want to sort some of the Democratic candidates because we the past two nights have been the Democratic debates, primary debates. So let's start with AOC.
Yes.
What house do you think she is?
Okay. I feel like I'm going to put her in Gryffindor because of her, like, taking on the man and fighting and, you know, like, saying stuff that you're not supposed to say.
Totally.
And doubling down on all of that. I think just to have done the primary that she did and defeat Joe Crowley took a lot of courage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put her. I mean, I think she has some Ravenclaw-ish tendencies for sure, and that she's a very smart person. But she's also really, I think part of being a Gryffindor is also being like gregarious and open.
Yeah.
So I think like her tendency to do like the Insta stories where she talks to everyone and all that stuff, like that's very Gryffindor-y.
Feels Gryffindor
to me as well. And also like getting there and immediately making like a pack of like fun, cute friends that you're all gonna wear like blazers and like hang out with, like
the
you know,
social aspect.
Yeah, exactly. Feels, with her and like Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and Ayanna Pressley just like hanging out and like creating a little crew is very Gryffindor to me as well.
Okay, great. She's a Gryffindor. What about Beto O'Rourke? Where are we putting Beto? I don't know.
I'm getting a Hufflepuff.
I was just going to say we'll take
energy,
him a Hufflepuff.
I think we're seeing. Yeah.
He's a Hufflepuff.
Yeah. I think also.
Yeah.
Watching his like campaign and sort of his like good hearted but misguided things that have happened on his campaign.
Getting here, Beto.
I think come from a Hufflepuffy.
Yeah.
Place.
I did get the vibe a little bit watching the debate that as much as I believe he wants to be president, there was a part of him that's like, this is kind of a lot.
Oh man, it would be better if I was at home right now. I could be on my couch and that would be
I really
awesome.
Like my house.
And I think that what people liked about him was he seems friendly.
Yeah. And he seems like a friendly, normal. It's like, you're pretty normal.
Yeah.
On the politics scale, you're like normal dude.
Yes.
Great.
So I think I'll put him in Hufflepuff. Oh,
welcome, Beto. Okay, what about Kamala Harris?
Ooh.
Tough.
Kamala.
See, this is the tough thing about politics because I feel the same way about Kamala as I think you were saying about AOC, where I'm like, remove the politics, and I think Kamala is a Ravenclaw.
Yes.
I don't know. But you add in the like need to be social and political.
I do feel like why I'm leaning Ravenclaw is because I just watched, this will come out later, but I watched the debate last night. She has the like cool, calm Ravenclaw, like detached, like I'm actually looking at this situation intellectually. I'm putting all the puzzle pieces together and I'm responding with like facts. Like last night at the debate, she had this like way of like keeping herself removed from the fray that had very Ravenclaw-ish energy to me. The dark side of that is like a lot of Ravenclaws left the battle because they're like, they like left Hogwarts for the battle because they're like, I'll sit back and like watch what's going to happen, which I don't think that Kamala has like that energy, but she was able to like detach herself and like watch and kind of play chess a little bit in a way that I feel.
That's what it was. She has that. It's like that lawyerly prosecutorial. I am very logical. I can.
Yes.
But she is playing like three-dimensional chess
in
a way that other people are getting passionate and she's sort of like, I know before you even speak what my in is going to be.
Where I think a Gryffindor, the Gryffindor thing and the big like Gryffindor failing that Harry had is like getting too hot-headed, freaking yourself out, like barreling through because you're like, I got to do something about this right now. Which like, you know, I feel like the times that AOC has like made mistakes or whatever, it was coming from like passion or like, you know, she's speaking extemporaneously. She's passionate. She's doing all these things. So it's like, I think that Kamala is able to, like, keep that Ravenclaw cool distance.
I completely agree. Okay, then that's a good segue to her last one, Bernie. So everything about Vermont says to me Hufflepuff. Like, Vermont is a state of Hufflepuffs.
Vermont is a state of Hufflepuffs. Bernie gives me some Gryffindor energy, too, because he's been fighting the good fight for a long, long time. And he's, like, gotten arrested and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, said things that weren't popular when it was like not as easy to say them.
Agree.
Socially, I I feel that he's a Hufflepuff.
Yeah. Bernie more. Is like, he might be a Gryffindor who's going to like retire to Hufflepuff.
Yes.
He's like,
yes.
Like he was a Gryffindor in Hogwarts, but he's
in Hufflepuff retirement now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like maybe he'll go back and be a professor and he'll like hang with the Hufflepuff kids.
Yeah. And like feel more of a kinship with them and stuff. But yeah, I feel like maybe his youthful Bernie is in Gryffindor. And now in his older age, he's like retired into more of a Hufflepuff energy.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. So on Cartoon President,
yes.
Is there, when you are doing voicing AOC, is there anything in particular that you like tap into about her? Did you watch a bunch of her talking? Like, is there something, like a word or a phrase that helps you feel like, okay, now I got her?
I've watched a lot of her talking. I think one part of the reason I got the job is because I think we actually sound very similar in general. She gets like this when she's like going to be angry and it's like, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Like you can like hear it goes a little higher in her voice when she's being passionate, and she has like a little like almost a little like gravel in there, which I like. But I do, anytime a video of her comes up, like telling people off on the floor, those are the ones that I really like to watch. And then I'll just repeat what she said back to the camera, like to it a couple times, and like listen to myself saying it just to like try to get myself in there and compare and practice.
Cool.
But I don't think so is one of her big things that she says a lot.
That does, when you're saying it, I'm just like, I don't know where, but I've heard her or seen her
say
do that before.
So many times. That's her big, I don't think so.
And it is very effective, like, at just sort of shutting you down, where it's just like, okay.
Also, when she's talking, she has a lot of and moments, but she's going. She just keeps speaking. She doesn't, Obama was known for like the very like pause way of talking, and hers is very like, I'm on a roll, I'm talking, I'm gonna keep talking.
It's like, I'm waiting for the brain.
Yes.
Like, I'm waiting for the word part of my brain to catch up with the idea part.
Yes.
I'm not pausing for like dramatic effect here.
Yes.
I'm just like waiting a split second.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And also, the last thing I want to talk about is you host a show that I love called Roast of Your 15-Year-Old Self.
Yes. Which you've been on.
I have.
Yes.
Yeah. Roasting myself. So how much does Potter factor into that? And do you feel that your 15-year-old self deserves to be roasted for how much you were invested in Harry Potter?
So I read the fanfic. I read excerpts from the fanfiction at the show. So Potter definitely factors in. I think, honestly, through doing the show, I have come to love all of the things I roast about 15-year-old Elise. So, like, I find it adorable now that I'm that invested. And I see a through line to, like, stuff that I do later. Like, you're spending hours that you should be doing your homework writing this Harry Potter fan fiction, but you're going to become a comedy writer later who like writes her own characters and shows and writes plays and like all this stuff. And it's going to come from this fan fiction that adult 30-year-olds flamed you for.
Yeah. Where are you now?
So it's like, it's interesting to do the show because when I first started doing it, I think a lot of the things that I talked about on the show genuinely embarrassed me. And it was like tough to bring them up. And now also I've seen so many other people's embarrassing things, which are amazing and hilarious. And I have learned to love them so much. And I've seen, because I'm 29 now, so it's been over 10 years since I've been that girl. And I've seen how that girl became me and how there are so many threads of like that weird person in who I am now. And I really like who I am now. So I've like learned to really embrace her through roasting her, I would say.
Well, speaking of wizard children at school, guys, the next roast of your 15-year-old self is August 7th at 8 p.m. at Union Hall in New York City. And everyone should go check it out. Also, watch Cartoon President. Watch for AOC. And you know what? Watch the primary debates. Engage with your democracy.
I think that's
important, too.
Vote.
Engage. And thanks so much for doing it.
Yeah, this is so much fun. Yay. Thanks for having me.